Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome here. And I pray God's Spirit, I wish God's Spirit and peace on you here today and on your life. Before I start, I want to say thank you to the church here for the love offering that we received. And I just want to bless you for that. It's very, very generous. So what I want to talk about this morning is something that we all need and we always will need on this earth. And so I'll try to describe it with two kinds of people. I'm only going to talk about one of these kinds of people, but I'll try to describe it with two. So one person doesn't ask advice from anybody. One person asks advice, listens when people talk, listens more than he talks, and is trying to learn better. The other person refuses to listen, has way more to say than everybody else, and total opposite the two. One person, and this will tell you what I'm thinking, one person builds his house on a rock and one person builds his house on the sand. And so wisdom, or a wise person, is what I want to look at this morning. And the definition, wisdom, the ability or result of an ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Wisdom is a quality that is difficult to define because it encompasses so much, and yet people generally recognize it when they encounter it. Webster says that a wise man is a man of unusual learning, judgment, and insight. And some quotes that I found about wisdom says, in simple words, a wise man, or you could say wise woman, a wise man or woman is not someone that knows that he is wise, because such a person loses the capacity to accept that he can commit a mistake. Another quote is, wisdom is demonstrated by handling life's issues with a meek spirit. And this morning, I was thinking about what we need wisdom for. And this morning, I can tell you with a for sure thing that we're going to have in this life, and that is trials and troubles. It's a for sure thing that we're going to have. When Adam and Eve were put out of the garden for their unwise choice, our troubles began, and we need wisdom to get through them in this life. Job 14 verse 1 tells us that a man's days are few and full of trouble, and we need wisdom to get through these troubles. A wise man listens to authority. In Proverbs 13 1 it says that a wise son heareth his father's instruction, and I know there's many other verses that would include everybody. And I didn't do a study on it, but wisdom is talked about a lot in the Bible. It's not just in Proverbs. There is a lot of instruction on wisdom in the Bible. A wise man seeks to increase in knowledge. And I will read Proverbs 1, verse 5. Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Another thing a wise man will do is he will be surrounded by wise company. He don't spend a lot of time hanging out with unwise or foolish people. And we'll read Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And then another verse I have here is Proverbs 14, verse 7. And it says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Another thing a wise man does is plans for the future. I don't have a verse for that one. And I thought this was pretty good. A wise man never knows all. Only fools know everything. So this morning, if you're a man or a boy, if you're a woman or a girl, a mom or a dad, if you're poor or if you're rich, you need wisdom. So at the first here, the definition of wisdom I looked at was man's definition, and there was some biblical mixed in there. And I think the Bible supports that even on the man's definition of it. Proverbs 9 verse 10 tells us what true wisdom is. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And another verse I have, Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So, like I said already, there's so much wisdom in the Bible. I couldn't read it all to you this morning. And in thinking of wisdom, you know, if you don't think you need much wisdom this morning, if you're at a place in life, and depending where you're at, you may need more than others, but if you don't think you need much wisdom this morning, you go ahead and get yourself married and have yourself a family to raise, and you'll figure out you need wisdom. You will need wisdom. Ecclesiastes 11 tells us that it tells the young, I don't have that verse here just to read, but it tells the young to enjoy life. And I don't know the exact words it all says, but it says to go enjoy your life and do what you want to do, or enjoy it. I wouldn't take it negatively. I think it really means to go enjoy being young, enjoy whatever it is, fishing. But remember, there's a judgment for the things that we do, and that is to the young. And then that's at the end of Ecclesiastes 11. And then it starts off in the first verse of Ecclesiastes 12, the next chapter. It says, to remember your Creator. There's a lot of wisdom in there. So the wisest thing that we can do is fear God. And when we fear God, it opens the door to the wisdom we need to get through life. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, 19, that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And I was thinking about this, and how could this be that the wisdom of the world would be foolishness? Something I thought of that might could be that way. So the wisdom of the world, you do whatever. If there's an opportunity to move forward financially, if there's an opportunity like that comes up, then the wisdom of the world would say you do it, and you don't. you don't worry about some of the other things. God's wisdom will keep us possibly from taking or going after the best paying job or career in exchange for being home with our families. That's just an example of what where that could be controversy to each other. Proverbs 8 verse 11 says, "For wisdom," and I think this is God's wisdom, "is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And so godly wisdom won't always make sense to the people of the world. And at times it will even seem foolish to the world. Most of the time when we think of wisdom, I would say probably a huge percentage of us in here, we think of Solomon and how wise Solomon was. And that's an amazing story. I was reading through it, and if you need somewhere to read, just start there in 1 Kings and read how that happened. And it is just incredible how his brother Adonijah, he tries to steal the kingdom because David was getting real old and he wasn't able to do much, but he hadn't died yet. And David had picked Solomon for the kingdom. So Adonijah, he sneaks in there and he tries to become king, kind of on the sly. It didn't work out so well. And they got Solomon ordained king, and then it all fell apart. It was real interesting reading through that. It doesn't have anything to do. Well, it does show wisdom on Adonijah's part. So he was all of a sudden real afraid because Solomon was king, and he thought that Solomon was going to come and kill him because he had tried to steal his kingdom. And so he goes to the altar and grabs a hold of the horns of the altar. And I didn't look at what exactly that means, but he did that because he was afraid that he was going to die. And there's something about that he felt much safer there. And Solomon said, well, no, he wouldn't kill him. He could go to his house, and if he behaved himself, then he would be fine. So he showed wisdom. He was looking out for himself. He knew he was in trouble. Right after Solomon was made king, he showed some wisdom. Now this was, I always thought Solomon got, God came to him right after he was king and said, you know, what do you want me to give you? I thought that was kind of how it went. But Solomon was king for a little bit there before this happened. He showed wisdom even in that time on his own, just making peace in his kingdom. He got rid of some people that was going to cause disrupt peace in his kingdom. Adonijah was actually one of them that he got rid of, because Adonijah tried to still sneak in there and go through Solomon's mom and get her to get Solomon to give him David, the old king's, one of his wives. So he was still trying to get the kingdom. Well, when he done that, Solomon got rid of him because he didn't behave himself. Just some interesting facts there. So when he went to Gibeon, this was after all this had happened, Solomon went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. And that is where God asked him what he wanted him to give him. So it was a little time after. And by this time, Solomon realized that the big job he had on his hands, you know, he had already faced some decisions, and he was feeling pretty small. There was more people. It tells us there in Kings that there was more people than could be numbered that he was judge over, that he was king over. And so he had a load on him, and he told God that he felt like he was a little boy, or he didn't know what to do. And so he asked for wisdom to be able to judge God's people in the right way. And we know that God gave him much wisdom. And then later on, through his wisdom and the sayings he did, and then he acquired much wealth. And then on in the story there, the Queen of Sheba came to see him. She had to come and check this wise guy out, because she was probably considered a very wise person. She brought all kinds of riches and gold with her and people and a whole train. And I thought it was pretty interesting. It didn't sound very wise to me. But at the end, before Queen of Sheba went back home, Solomon gave her, it says in the Bible that Solomon gave her anything she asked for. And I thought, boy, that's not a very wise thing to do. But I guess they all, she gave him stuff, he gave her stuff. I don't know how they did their stuff back then, but that's what it says. Solomon gave her anything she asked for. So he was extremely wealthy. And I don't think Solomon ever lost his wisdom for daily life situations. I don't think he ever did. But in the end, Solomon was a very unwise person. That's in the end of his life, he ended up being very unwise. And the Bible tells us, this is all in Kings. I should probably have the verses exactly. But if you read 1 Kings and read through, at the end of Solomon's life, he quit fearing God and his heart turned from God. And this was what God was not happy with. This was not a wise thing to do. And God had even warned him when Solomon built the house, or like, what's it called? God's house there, the big house, and he dedicated it to God. And God told him that as long as he feared him, as long as he followed after his father David, that he would always be with him, and that the kingdom would, like, as long as he stayed true to God, there would always be a faithful king in his place over Israel. And if he didn't, that it wouldn't work, it would fall apart. God warned him about that at that time. And so at the end there, he acquired much wealth, and he kept acquiring more and more, and he brought in heathen wives, and they turned him to idolatry. And so he turned from God, and because of this, he lost almost all of his kingdom. He had one, it was divided into 12 parts, and he only ended up with one of them, and that was just because of David's, it says in there that God did this because of David. Solomon's dad had requested, or had told Solomon, that he would always reign, or however it says that in there. I don't remember the exact wording, but because of that, he kept one kingdom, but he lost the biggest part of his kingdom because of this unwise decision. Another man I thought about, and that is Daniel. And it's another very interesting book to study. And I'll go through that kind of in the same way. I was looking at that, so Daniel interpreted three dreams, and he actually dreamt a couple times himself. But what I want to look at in Daniel's story is when Belshazzar made a great feast, and he said he did this before 1,000 of his lords. So he made a huge feast, and he commanded the gold and silver cups be brought to them that came out of the temple of the house of God. And they wanted to drink out of them. And so that was a very unwise thing to do. So when he saw the handwriting on the wall that we know in the story, suddenly the party was over. And the king, his knees began to bang together, and he was seriously troubled. He called all his wise men he had. He called them all in there and told them what he would give them, and it was a lot. I was going to read that in Daniel 5. We can turn to there. Daniel 5. It tells us, let's see here, it's in, he cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. This is verse 7. And he went on there and he said that whoever would interpret this handwriting on the wall that was wrote there, that they would be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And so these wise men were going to try. They had a lot of reason to try. And they couldn't do it. And he was very concerned. And it says that his lords, or the people there with him, was astonished at how different the king had just turned into a scared person. And they wasn't used to that. So let's go that same chapter, Daniel 5, verse 14. And this here is where Daniel came on the scene. And it says there in verse 14, we'll read 14 through 17. I have even heard of thee, this is the king talking to Daniel, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. And so Daniel was going to get the same thing if he could interpret this. And Daniel knew he could interpret it. And who of us wouldn't be rubbing our hands together like this was fixing to get good? And this is where I want to point out Daniel's wisdom. Daniel said in verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation. And I thought that was incredible. Like, he was like, just, he wasn't worried about that stuff. And I see a lot of wisdom in that. Give that to somebody else. And he was still interpret the dream. And it was very wise of Daniel. And he went on to tell, in the rest of that story, he went on to tell the king. And he backed up before Nebuchadnezzar. Or no, he backed up to Nebuchadnezzar, be Belshazzar's dad, and he told him that God, he said that he had become great and he had acquired much stuff. And I thought it was very interesting that he told him that God had gave him these things. God had gave his dad these things, and his dad's heart had went away from God. And so he was, there he was, being unwise. I'll point that out. Nebuchadnezzar was unwise in taking it to himself and not giving God the credit. And we know what happened to him. He was turned out to pasture. So Daniel backed up and he told the king about that. And then he came and said, you're doing the same thing. You're following right after your dad. And you're not fearing God, basically, is what it amounts to. And then he interpreted the dream. We know what the dream was. And how the kingdom was took from him. So I don't know how you feel. Sometimes I look at what I've done, or what I've done or what I've not done, and I feel rather foolish or unwise. And I'm going to tell you something that I did in my past that was very, I think, a very foolish thing to do. And it's embarrassing for me to tell you this. So when I was young, I was like most boys, and I liked pickups, I liked trucks. And so when I got a little bit older, and I wanted a nicer truck than what I had, and fact is, I wanted a new truck. And so I went and bought a new truck. Well, I drove it for a little while, and it was getting horrible gas mileage, and I thought a diesel would be so much better, because you hear how they get good fuel mileage. And I went back to see about trading that truck in on another new truck. Wasn't that smart? No, it wasn't. But anyway, my salesman actually tried to talk me out of it. He said, you don't want to do that. You need to drive this thing for a while. And you would think that a man would listen to something like that. But like I said, this is embarrassing to me. I went to another dealer that didn't know me, and I still traded that truck in on another brand new pickup, diesel. And guess what? It didn't get near as good a gas mileage as what I was told they got. It didn't for me. And I wish that was the last new truck I had to tell you that I bought. But I bought four brand new trucks in probably the space of, I think, 4 or 5 years. Now, that's embarrassing for me to sit up here and tell you that this morning. And it was a very foolish thing for me to do. And I had a few people try to speak some wisdom into my heart. And I'll tell you one thing I told one of my brothers, and I was right in what I said, but it was a foolish thing to say or to think. And he thought, you know, this was kind of getting a little silly, my truck trading, and it was. But my words to him was, when you start paying for my truck, then I'll start letting you tell me what truck to do. So, you know, that was my response. There again, a very foolish thing to think or say. And guess what? I was all alone in my suffering when it all shook down too. So I was able to pay for my truck and I was able to reap the benefits. So when I look at that, but that's not the last time I've done something foolish. I can think, it's stuff I could think of last week, like that wasn't a real smart thing to do. So we make mistakes. Sometimes we really don't know the answers to life and we don't feel we have wisdom for it. And like I said, if you don't think you need any wisdom, you try to raise a family. And usually when you're pretty young, you know a whole lot more than when you're older. It's the way it seems. The good news is that we can get wisdom. That's the good news. James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God was pleased with Solomon when he asked for wisdom instead of riches. It says that right in the Bible, that God was pleased with him when he asked for wisdom instead of riches. And God wants us to ask for wisdom. And James 1 verse 5 tells us that he will answer the request. And remember, I done read Proverbs 9 verse 10, that true wisdom is fearing God. And so that's where true wisdom comes from. And when we ask God, it's something that he will give us. It's right there in the Bible. And so this morning, if you are a poor person and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, you need to bow your head and ask God for wisdom, how to get through it, what to do different. If you're a rich man this morning and you have way more than you need, you need to bow your head and ask God for wisdom to know what to do with it, to know how or what not to do. We all need wisdom in this. That's all I have this morning. Why don't we stand for prayer?